So in the Mahabharata, the Pandavas are treated badly, not just by the Kauravas, but even by their own elders, whom they are respecting repeatedly. So, should we also do something similar? And if yes, how do we do that? Actually, there are two different ways of looking at it. One is from the transcendental perspective, and the other is from the circumstantial perspective. From the transcendental perspective, say when Draupadi was being disrobed, at that time, Bhishma, Drona, they all, Bhishma was a very powerful person. Why did he remain silent? From the transcendental perspective, we understand that Krishna wanted to demonstrate this principle that ultimately we have no protector other than Krishna in this world. And everybody was orchestrated for that purpose. Yudhishthira is gambling to such an extent. Bhishma is saying, I don't know what to do in such a situation. So ultimately, it was that purpose. So that's from the transcendental perspective that Krishna demonstrated it. When you have no one to protect you, even when there are so many people who can protect you, but you are left with no one to protect you. At that time, we have only Krishna to protect you. So this is a way in which, by looking at it in this way, we can avoid becoming critical about these great characters who are there in the Mahabharata. At the same time, the Mahabharata can also be analyzed for drawing moral lessons. So we see Srila Prabhupada also adopts the two approaches. In the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, Prabhupada primarily says Arjuna's positives. He's soft-hearted, he's sensitive, he's pure, he's so considerate about others. And second chapter, most of the purports, Prabhupada is saying, Arjuna is crying, tears are a sign of ignorance and attachment. And then he says that actually to identify with the body is skin disease. And a person who is attached, a person is always in perplexity. Now Arjuna is in perplexity, therefore he is the spiritual master. Arjuna is in perplexity, therefore he is the spiritual master. So Prabhupada also gives an example. At one level, we see it's all orchestrated by the Lord. At another level, we can also learn some practical lessons. So from the practical perspective, the Kuru elders, they were paralyzed by their conflicted loyalties. Bhishma, he naturally was affectionate towards the Pandavas. Because many reasons. First of all, they were very cultured, respectful, sensitive. And another was that they did not have a father. So he felt, I have more responsibility for them. So he had that affection for them. On the other hand, he had taken a vow that he would always support the Kuru king. And when he took that vow, he would never have thought that a wicked pair like Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana would be ruling. So he was bound by his own vow. And he felt that I cannot directly go against him. So they were also had their conflicted loyalties. So sometimes, even those who, from our perspective, seem to be in positions of power and they are not doing anything. But they may also have their own pressures of which we are not aware. You can do something so easy. They have so many other things to consider that we don't know about. There was a US president, maybe some of you know about him. He once said that after he finished his power, 4 years, after his tenure, when it got over, what was your experience? He said, throughout my tenure, I was feeling like I was shouting on a phone with nobody at the other end. So although the president is supposed to be the most powerful person in the country, but the president also has so many pressure points. The president has to take care of, satisfy this person. Otherwise, so many things can go wrong. So from the external perspective, it appears that somebody has a lot of power. But actually, when you go into that situation, they have power, but their power is also curtailed by so many things. So, now, still, if they have power, so from a moral perspective, Bhishma's remaining silent when Draupadi was disrobed. That is wrong. And Prabhupada also talks about this in the second chapter. He says, because they remained silent, they deserve to be punished. And Arjuna had the duty to kill them as a punishment for their remaining silent amid their atrocity. So, in circumstantial ways also we can look at it. So, they've had conflicted loyalties and they had different duties and they could not decide which duty is more important. So, there is what is called a moral dilemma and there's an ethical dilemma. Moral dilemma means one choice is moral, the other choice is immoral. And at that time, what is required basically is some strength of character, some moral strength. To be able to resist the immoral temptation and to act morally. But there are sometimes in the ethical dilemma, that means there are two choices, both of them are moral. And which is a higher morality? Deciding that becomes difficult. So, in this case, now from the perspective of distance, now, Draupadi is being dishonored. Now, what is the point of your vow? You could use it, Bhishma. If an honorable lady is being dishonored in public, you have to stop it. That's your duty. We may feel this when we see from the benefit of distance, we feel like that. But generally, the Mahabharata reveals a culture where people considered their word very important. Honoring one's word was considered even more important than honoring one's life. And so for him at that time, he just couldn't decide what to do. Should I do this or should I do that? So from the Pandavas' perspective, so this is, I'm talking sometimes if we find that those who are seniors, they're not supporting us, when they can support and they should support. At that time, we should give them the benefit of doubt and say that, you know, I don't know what pressures they are in because of which they're not doing the right thing. But this does not mean that we have to ourselves continue to be victims. The Pandavas, they waited. Maybe Bhishma will talk. Eventually, Bhishma did not talk. They took it in their own hands. So they fought a war. So, ultimately, no, we have to make sure that our service to Krishna goes on. So, usually we need some facilities, some support from some seniors so that we can do that service. And if that is not coming, then we may have to find some other way in which we can continue our service to Krishna. So, the principle is that rather than judging whether others are doing right or wrong, we focus on doing that which is necessary for ourselves. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vacha. So thinking that, oh, my seniors are neglecting their duty, they're just being silent, they're doing this, they're doing that. That attitude towards one's seniors is not very favorable. So we can avoid that attitude. I don't know what they are in, what pressure they are in, I don't know. So we give them the benefit of doubt and leave it at that. But at the same time, so being in the situation where I am being neglected, where I am treated badly, this is not favorable for my emotional and spiritual well-being. So I need to create my space, which I can continue my service. So how I do that? That we have to use our own intelligence and use our own resourcefulness and find that out. So, so the important thing is that we continue our service to Krishna. And if you keep this principle in mind, anukulyasya santaka vartikulyasya bhajana, it's very striking, these two principles. You know, accept that is favorable and reject that is unfavorable. Why is it striking? Because these are talked about as the first two among the six elements of surrender. Mm-hmm. Normally, we think of surrender as passive. Oh, Draupadi surrender to Krishna. Raise your hands and surrender. Yes, that is one way of surrendering. But we see Krishna tells Arjuna at the end of the Bhagavata, surrender. Mamekam sharanam gacha. And Arjuna says, yes, I will surrender. Karishya vachanam tapa. But when Arjuna surrenders, his surrender is not raising his hand up. Arjuna's surrender is raising his bow up for fighting. So sometimes surrender means raising one's hand in helplessness. Sometimes surrender means raising one's bow for fighting. So surrender can have different forms at different times. And this is, so what? In the six elements of surrender, which I talked about here, the first two are very active. Okay, this is favorable, I'll accept it. This is unfavorable, I'll avoid it. So surrender, when we see it from this perspective, is actually a very active activity. It is not a passive just thing. The other four are there, which are dispositions.
oh, having faith that Krishna will protect me, I am dependent on Krishna, I am nothing without Krishna, Krishna will maintain me.
Those are dispositions which will come over a period of time as we mature in our bhakti. We can't have that disposition overnight. But these two are things which we can always do, whatever situation we are in. And if we have this attitude that, okay, surrendering to Krishna means I have to accept that which is favorable and reject that which is unfavorable. Then we place the initiative on ourselves. Okay, this is not favorable, I'll move away from here. And this is favorable, I'll move over here. I'll do it this way, I'll do it this way. We keep moving onwards in our relationship with Krishna. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you very much. So we'll have a break for 10 minutes and we can meet at 11. Sorry.